This is a book, Little Q, which extends from July 15th, 1977 to the end of the year, December of the same year. The beginning of the book is looking for cDNA plasmids in order to use these for the genome search. So this is making complementary DNA and inserting it into different materials, in this case into Ki-1776. The first page talks about rescuing some colonies and making replica filter papers, a total of, from what I can see, something like 122 different colonies replicated. So one will be used for hybridization, and one is the master colony, which is then used to propagate the and purify the particular clone. It comments on the following page, three results of the first immunoglobulin transformation carried out and read. The two possible positives into the medium, etc. Continuing on the same vein, on page 5, it's talking about inspecting the old hemoglobin plasmid, etc. And then at the bottom of the page is a very nice interruption, vacation and flying. I got my pilot's license on Friday, July 15th, 1977. So that's, 48 years ago. So that was a time off. Coming back from work, then so there's a jump from July 14th. The next entry is September 9th. And it's talking about the characterization of mouse immunoglobulin A heavy chain lambda clones. So these are clones that are, as illustrated on page 6, for example, number 14, showing the cDNA perhaps 1.8 kilobases long. And talking about Leslie Furlong's HEPA1 map, and one can see that the piece in what I call the 12.0 piece in the is the clone bearer, and indicated by its progressive increase in size, and there a map a gel showing these pieces on the following page 7. HEPA1 digest on Monday, September 12th. And new preparations of the immunoglobulin clones, which three in particular are mentioned. IG number 1, IG number 4, IG number 11. There was some difficulty with the digest, apparently, on page 11. Repeated on the digest on page 13, September 13th, and with a lot of results on page tabulation of sizes on page 12, with the results over the page showing the gels and the plot of the sizes. And where different bands might occur in the size range. Hepaguan Digest repeats of on IG number 4, Wednesday, September 14th. In summary, and it gives us a summary of the pieces there. Making some probes with radioactive phosphate probe from lambda phages made on Friday, September 16th. With some difficulty, as shown on page 23, obviously it did not work. Abandon these two and threw everything out. Repeat on Monday. Typical of having to repeat things. Now with BAM H1 digest on page 27, and then a very interesting page occurs on page 28, and this is the first sequence that we obtained. I think my recollection is, and I think I might try to call Leslie Furlong about this, that this was a sequence that Leslie Furlong got, and perhaps the first one. She was doing end labeling, using the end labeling method for determining DNA sequences, Wally Gilbert, Maxim and Gilbert method, where the end is labeled and with phosphate, and then sequence is read. I remember the excitement of getting these first sequences. So we tried to translate the sequences shown in this diagram. Didn't recognize them, of course, as they didn't correspond to any immunoglobulin sequences, it turns out, because with modern methods it was very easy for me to find out where the sequences came from, and it turns out that both of them are E. coli sequences, so this clone of the sequence anyway that was determined was actually a piece of E. coli DNA with 98% identity to E. coli NISL 1917 complete genome. The sequence is actually the clone was actually a little piece of bacterial DNA. But it didn't prevent us from being very excited about it, because we didn't know that. We thought we were getting what we wanted. Of course, eventually we did, but not at that time. Repeating the HaHa digest for acrylamide, and with troubles in the gel. Nonetheless, despite the poor run, one can see that HaHa number one is greater than HaHa Delta Lac. In other words, number one has a piece of DNA in it. And the repeat gel on the page 34 and 35, quite an impressive gel. This was 8% acrylamide gel. So the acrylamide gel for these small fragments were very beautiful. And trying to make radioactive probe again, Nick translating on page 37. and Monday, September 26th, checking the probe, etc., and the following pages, and repeating the Nick translation to get some hotter probe, and going on over several pages, including Thursday, September 29th, page 43, full-scale remake of probes. And running a column to clean up the probes and get rid of the unbound radioactive DNTPs. And so there were 2 × 10⁶ counts per minute total, representing about 2% incorporation. Repeating it on October 7th, and this time it was only 2.5 × 10⁵ counts per minute, very poor, to increase the DNTP level. And the following day, a repeat, but still not very good. You must try phenol. So that didn't help. Following page with phenol, Sunday, October 9th, total zero. Trying to get a probe to work. Now back to the use of the probes, plaque hybridization on page 57. With the result that there's nothing on any film, virtually no counts on the filters. So trying to make a better probe again on the following page, so I have to repeat and repeat and repeat. Nothing worthwhile. The mRNA, which we were using to make the probe, or something must be wrong. Especially see previous page. Likely none of the material is cDNA. This problem is emphasized on page 61, where the head of the page is cDNA again, da-da-da-da-da-da, exclamation mark. Having to try to get a probe. But using Jeff Ross's enzymes on page 65, October 19th, I got 2.4 × 10⁶ counts. So it looks somewhat better. And the column results also look better. Here is some work of Ed. I have to remember which Ed that is. Had some DNA from each of 3 immunoglobulin cDNA clones, IG2 and IG17, each have enough DNA to see unconcentrated, etc., etc. With a rather strange conclusion on the following page, none of the plasmids have enzyme sites, or else the enzymes are not active with these preparations. That's BAMH1, HEPA1, and EcoR1. So I think the latter explanation is the more likely. Uh,
a little comment on the fire here on page 7. Charlie 29, that's Moree Airport to Madison to EBN, and then an aero tow was Schweitzer 22, and got my glider rating. Used it a great deal ever since, so those are good days for non-work enjoyment, doing experiments though on the Friday. I forgot to denature the probe on Saturday in big red letters. First test was negative on the following day, then raster DNA. The rat was a young adult male, about 6 months old, from the genetics lab. Why I was wanting to do rat DNA is not immediately clear. So I had to have half to Harvey and half to Fred Blattner, rat DNA dialyzed on the following page. Made some complementary DNA, this is Anne, it says Anne's complementary DNA, that's probably Anne Bleckel. Six times 10^5 counts total. Yield only about a quarter of that obtained earlier in the book on page Q, 65. So transferring the material and the different methods of doing this. Sudden blots. Comment that zero weights work. Followed up on Monday, October 21st, with the DNA transfer. It's very much better this time due to no weights. These things like the sudden blots, which are so or became so routine, were still not so easy in those days when we were beginning. Yes, and that the Ed was Ed Sheldon there, because here he has commented on Ed Sheldon always uses SDS in his pre-wash. Interesting that on page 87 I have an old container of HEPA 1 believed to be lot 3 from Biolabs, so it was early days of Biolabs too, if that was only their lot number 3. The enzyme is okay and it is HEPA, is the conclusion of that experiment. Beginning of restriction tests of human shared DNA, and Sharon Phage and PCR1 clones, immunoglobulin clones. But the conclusion was, from the November 2nd experiment, no digestion. Repeat with more enzyme. And then the next page, R1 was overkilled. Repeat with less enzyme. And then a recheck of restriction sites on two of the immunoglobulin cDNA clones, IG-17 and IG-19. There were some problems in distinguishing between an enzyme that nicks and an enzyme that cuts on the bottom of the page, November 4th. And looking at the repeat of HEPA1 digest on harvest clones with more enzyme and less DNA in some cases, with the conclusion that many of them are probably just the Sharon 3A delta lac, in other words, have nothing in them. Cannot tell 7. Digestion only complete in 3 of them. Number 1 may have an insert, but more likely just more partial digests, which of course always are confusing. So not convinced by anybody. Some work on rat insulin, rat growth hormone, human chorionic, somatotropin. Howard Goodman, Nick translated for probes. What I was trying to do at that stage is, again, as I have said often, not immediately obvious. A final test with a question mark, obviously, about the final of HEPA on the harvest clones on page 101, November 9th. A general test for inserts prior to packaging the phages. The conclusion on page 100 is confirms the previous gel. All of them are probably delta lac. The diagnostic procedure looks good, even though none of these were, of these particular clones were really good. I rescued one clone, IG number 2, but very little, if at all, bigger than the control plasmid and the control PCR1. And on the next page, the conclusion, IG number 2 is a small deletion with no extra R1, BAM1 or HEPA1 sites. Somewhere, some comments on shrinkage of film and shrinkage of filters on November 21st. We now must have had the sequencing going because on Monday, November 21st, there's a review of Sharon 3A immunoglobulin whatever clones
And IG number one has a BAM site as expected, but Phil Tucker has been unable to sequence it in the rightward direction. Page 113, November 22nd, a test of growth on two different bacterial strains, K802, which is doesn't have a suppressor as I remember, versus growth on Denspirero SupF DP 40 SupF. A protocol from Harvey Faber on DNA from lysates. More tests of restriction site. Hindi 3, KPN, PST, and Ava 2. So, yeah, enzymes are now much more readily available with a result that's much more complicated, as shown on page 117, where Ava 2, PIST 1, and KPN, Hindi 3 mix, are tested with these four possible clones, IG, number 1, 4, number 11, and number 14. And comparing, the conclusion is comparing with Leslie's gel, IG number 1 must be approximately equal to hemoglobin. By my measurement, it's 2%, therefore greater than or equal to 1,000 base pairs, meaning that that has a good hemoglobin cDNA. And that's the hemoglobin clones. No, approximately equivalent to the hemoglobin. These are immunoglobulin ones. Compared with Lesogel, IG number one must be approximately equivalent in length to the hemoglobin clones. And by my measurement, be greater than 1,000 bases. In other words, we have a... I'm concluding that we have a good cDNA for immunoglobulin in the phage. Trying to get the mouse R1 genomic clones. 12 Sharon 3A clones isolated to test whether there was an insertion on Saturday, November 26th. So this is a bunch of different clones, 1 through 12, digested with HEPA 1 and Hindi 3 and KPM. In conclusion, 10 were testable and all have a clone segment. Roughly 250 to 600 base pair inserts. Progress. I'm remaking plasma probes on December 2nd. Here is much better results with a total 3 times 10 to the 7
and 3.7 times 10 to the 7th counts per minute in various fractions. So this is much better labeling. So these on the Friday, December 2nd, on page 122, it's talking about an R1 plasmid and rat growth hormone, and a human, an HCS, whatever, and HCS is a different material. MMR1 is a mouse R1 genomic clone. So, trying to isolate good clones to check the unlikely possibility that these clones are all big on Saturday, December 3rd. A conclusion that. One of them is okay, but this delta lack, and etc. Repeat. So this is looking at these different shotgun clones of mouse, rat, and human shotgun clones. The method being to take R1 digests or whatever, and hybrid and ligate them to the phages and then plate and then look for hybridization of the probes to the different the different phage plaques, and no doubt it will talk at some stage about the method which we use. Using the Tucker box, which was a rather nice combination of ideas, sorry, going back to Saturday, December 3rd, page 127, where plate lysates from mouse, rat, and human shotgun experiments were being considered. In this case, basically the method was to take the Sharon 3A bacteriophage, cut it with a suitable restriction enzyme, and then hybridize just total R1 digests of mouse, rat, or human DNA into the R1 site or whatever site we chose, and then grow up the phages and plate them on what were called mega plates. They were actually cafeteria trays, which were large enough to allow the plating of many, many plaques, many cloned phages. And then I take a replica of the phages and hybridize it to the probe, and then using what we called the Tucker box, we would be able to identify which plaques corresponded to the radioactive signal. And this was Phil Tucker's idea. He'd been trained in a physics lab where they were doing X-ray crystallography, and they were used to assembling superimposing images by looking at two images at the same time projected with a half-silvered mirror, we said in the paper published later, the Tucker box was based on the technique widely used for crystallographic model building, which proved indispensable for picking candidates from the mega plates requiring P3 containment, that's to say grown under safe conditions as far as the safety aspects of the cloning were considered at that time. This is on Saturday is talking about making the page. I see. And, 12 clones being looked at on Sunday, December 4th. Conclusion, still no R1 cuts or sticky end problems. So some problems with the experiment. So, for example, looking on again at digests from several different clones, human, rat, and mouse clones. No, total DNA, this is total DNA, plate lysates. Hoping to see the phage bands, but not enough phage-derived DNA in these plate lysates to be detectable above the E. coli DNA. So direct looking was not practical. Concerned with a different type of digestion with the EQR1 restriction enzyme, what are called R1 star cuts, were being considered on page 134. Back to the more important tests again. On Tuesday, December 6th, tests of the human shotgun. 12 independent second plating plaques grown by Anne Bleckel processed by the preceding protocol, etc. And so these were different plaques. Which were looked at again with PSD1 digests. With IgE number 1, 4, 11 and 14, which we talked about before. Conclusion that the PSD results are confirmed, but
Can't find any extra piece, no evidence of any inserts in it. An airplane comment again, on page 141, I remember this particular thing. Coronary arteriogram and mitral competence tests, completely normal. Medical certificate, a matter of time. That was because with hypertension, at that time they Federal Aviation Administration required rather extensive tests to establish that one could get a medical certificate, and I had a coronary arteriogram, which was rather unusual for a normal person, and I remember the cheers when the arteriogram showed that I had normal coronary arteries, but I also remember seeing that my heart stopped, and the comments of the nurses there, cough, 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 in order to restart the heart. So it was quite an experience. But anyway, I passed the test, and my medical certificate is only a matter of time. I really did want to fly. So, tests of the human plaques continued on December 8th. The arteriogram was December 7th. And some muddling of labels, unfortunately. Now looking at some phages which had been used with DA and DG tails. More pages of gels and digests following. Going back to the human shotgun again, December 11th, Sunday. Size range of the shotgun clones is approximately 5% to 15%. So our one should work well. And the conclusion is there that number 32 has about 5,000 base pairs and cuts cleanly. And C, one called C, is about 2,560 base pairs. And so that it was a quite pleasing result. With a then a continuing Sunday, December 11th, with the DADT tailed material. Well, with a mistake in the digest. The conclusion that the result is better in the sense of the enzyme activity is more complete. But still can find no evidence of proper annealed product. going on Monday, December 12th. Kate is right. The DT is difficult to see what has happened. It is difficult to see what has happened, but there's very little reconstituted delta lac in any of these, etc. So Kate must have been one of Fred's students. That is almost the end of this book, which ends on thoughts on immunoglobulin work, Tuesday, December 13th. Since the immunoglobulin bacteriophages have gone so relatively slowly,
and we really need a plasmid for genomic work. I should remake the immunoglobulin cDNA plasmids with a more up-to-date vector. And also, etc., etc. So, thinking about using PBR322 as the vector, and the subject to having the right sites. PBR313 is the next best, both available, but PBR322 with the deletion chosen to improve its growth proved to be the better choice. And that ends book Q, a very productive book.